Welcome to this podcast from St. James Scottish Episcopal Church in Leith. This is a 25-minute edit of our Sunday morning communion service. For more information, please visit our website, www.stjamesleith.org.uk. This is the good news. The grave is empty. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. This is the good news. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never put it out. Hallelujah. This is the good news. Once we were no people, now we are God's people. Hallelujah. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our Gospel this Easter morning is from Luke chapter 24. Glory to God. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Give thanks to the Lord for his glorious gospel.
Praise to Christ our Lord. C.S. Lewis famously wrote about his accidental discovery of what he called joy. And he described that what he meant by joy was something so intense, so good, and so high up that it could not be explained with words. Probably many of you read his book, Surprised by Joy. And this was about his search for this thing, joy. And it brought about his journey from atheism to Christian faith. I hope you were a little bit surprised when you came in this morning and had to stand about outside and then stand about and then come through here. For the benefit of people that are visiting us, this has changed a bit since last week. And that's part of the ritual of moving from Lent to Easter. And so it's nice when it's a wee bit surprising to come through. Not just because it's quite good fun, but because we do this on Easter morning to create a ritual moment that gently evokes the surprise of the people in the Easter story. It was a real kind of, the story we've read this morning, it was about a really surprising turnaround of events, to say the least. A story that led also to intense joy. As it happens, Richard has written a poem this week about the theatre of surprise.
The theatre falls silent. The play seems to be over. We have witnessed the sad story of the child who died for love. The earth called to him, he felt its need and fell into it willingly, as dead as a seed. The curtain fell. Since then, nothing. The audience shuffles. Is that it? Is that the final act? People are checking their programs, but it is too dark to see. Fumbling for coats beneath seats, wondering about the last bus home. But in the orchestra pit, no one has moved, and faintly, a bass note is sounding. A bass drum beating softly like a heart. At the back of the stalls, a woman is weeping. Someone is complaining that the story was too sad, Was his death meaningless? And what was the significance of the bread and the wine? Now the drumbeat is getting louder. A violin plays a single note. Then a chord, a flute trills like a blackbird heralding the dawn. The music swells, and a voice speaks.
And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun.
And the curtain rises again. Light begins to flood the stage, and the closing lines are read.
Come, let us eat the bread and drink the wine, to remind us that the darkness is always deepest just before the light returns.
And the message of this play rings clear, a message of wonder and surprise. Remember, you are loved just the way you are, and no matter how bad things seem, they will get better. Applause, please. Applause.
So each year, instinctively affected by this apparent joy of Easter that we sense, we wonder again what the resurrection of Jesus means. What can it have meant to those who were involved in the story that we had read? What can it have meant to peoples and cultures across time that had such an impact? In order to have such an impact, what could it have meant? What could it mean ontologically, how we interpret the meaning of life and death? And what does it mean for me and how I choose to live my life? Well, you'll be relieved to know I'm not going to attempt to answer any of those questions this morning, in the next 5 minutes. It's one idea I'd like to offer you to take away and mull over this Easter, and that's the idea of being surprised by God. C.S. Lewis wrote about being surprised by joy, and that's probably quite close. What about the idea of being surprised by God? Because surprises are a very big part of life. It's a kind of, it's maybe a slightly inadequate word because it's a wee bit tainted with surprise. A kind of bunny popping out of a cake or something. But the idea of being gently shocked or pleasantly taken aback, or maybe not so pleasantly taken aback, is a very big part of living, isn't it? It's a everyday fuel for what happens every day to us. If everything in life was entirely predictable, it would be like not really being alive at all. It would be like being a machine. The wonder of life is the juxtaposition that we're in between living in a universe that is mind-bogglingly ordered, the laws of nature, the turnings of the planets on their axis, and a million other things that we're wading our way through and discovering. The juxtaposition between that and yet how we experience life as a series of unpredictable surprises. Nature and the universe has many surprises to spring on us yet still to come. We know that, of course. But it's the surprises that engage us and challenge us and excite us and give us joy. The least we can say about the Easter story is that it was surprising. Our murals, which have been slightly altered, there's a better word than altered, isn't it, when you talk about art? Enhanced, although that's a slightly dirty word in art, I think. You know, people say, I look down on that. What's the word? Transformed, embellished, that's those sort of words. And for the benefit of people who weren't here, these lines represent people's lifelines. And at least the people that were here on the first Sunday in Lent, and everybody got a big fat pen and worked out on paper what the line of their life might look like, and then went along during the service. We went along, and all our lifelines all crossed over each other. So we've spent the last 6 weeks kind of having these at eye level and seeing what we can see in the pattern, which is a live thing that happened just when people were here. And there was a kind of beauty about it. Plan A today was to kind of cover this up, but we couldn't bring ourselves to do it. But they've been enhanced by the other sculpture here too. These lines depict thousands of surprising twists and turns in the days of our lives. Births and deaths, heights and depths. Maybe hidden in amongst that somewhere is one of the most profound experiences of surprise that many of us will recognize is discovering that as a couple you're going to have a child. That may be represented here in people's lifelines. And it's something that feels unreal at the time, and then it suddenly becomes real when you go for the first scan. And what is that, 12 weeks, is that right? And suddenly it becomes very real. And we had that experience twice, and on the second occasion, we were a little alarmed when the person doing the scan said, I'm just going to get someone else to have a look at this. To wait for a couple of minutes. And a senior colleague came back for a look and said, yes, well, there's definitely more than one. Which was one of the surprises of the century, I can tell you. One of those twins sent me a WhatsApp message on Monday night saying, I'm standing outside Notre Dame Cathedral and it's on fire. It's something that surprised everybody, if not shocked everybody, probably in ways that we'd never have anticipated or expect how it made people feel. Which in turn took on a significance and impact that has been very fascinating, a collective determination to see a resurrection. Very interesting. And with it, the convictions and hopes of millions of people, of a nation. The same depth of conviction was seen in the Glasgow Art School case. It's a very fascinating thing. How we respond and learn and change when we're taken by surprise is how life works. It's how we understand what matters to us, what makes us who we are. Now, the undeniable reality, whatever else we think or believe, the undeniable reality about the resurrection of Jesus is that the shock and surprise of it was so great that it cascaded out and down from a few obscure, powerless people in an insignificant corner of the Roman Empire. It somehow cascaded out across the world and across time, so as to such an extent to completely shape the entire story of the world. Even inspiring now people like you and me, all these eons and worlds away. And still, the story surprises us. That might be a word that comes to mind for you this morning as you heard it read again. And it's remarkable also that there are details in the story that surprise us in new ways. So, just one example, and then I'm done. Because I remember after decades of familiarity with this story, suddenly being taken by surprise that this highest apex moment on which the history of the world turned, that the news of the resurrection of Christ is given to the women. No doubt there were good reasons in their minds that the men had all fled, had scarpered. They would probably have been arrested as co-conspirators in this story. But the women amongst Jesus' friends wouldn't maybe have been in the same danger because women's opinions didn't matter. And ironically, then, how ironic and powerful that it's the subjugated women of a patriarchal society to whom is entrusted the news that God's love is for all of us, and beyond everything that life can throw at us, and even beyond death itself. It seems a remarkable detail in the story, and might be surprising to many people, given what the church has been like for centuries, never mind the rest of the world. And even, it seems, when you set it up against the world we live in now, even in our society, it seems remarkable. A world full of people who find this, or would find this, so surprising. They don't even think that women should be paid as much as men for doing the same job. Still, there was a gender pay gap thing last week. But let's get this again. A quarter of companies in public sector bodies have a pay gap of more than 20%. And 8 out of 10 companies, 8 out of 10 companies still pay their male employees more. So this is without even discussing who's in authority or who's in leadership. But the women were given the news of the resurrection. And somehow from them. I wonder if the men had got the news, if the news would have got out and changed the world. Well, we laugh. But actually, I think this is a very important detail in the story. There are churches in our own denomination, many who would not recognize the ministry of women or the authority of a woman in holy orders, never mind a woman bishop. We've got one now in Scotland. We're all patting ourselves on the back. Isn't that marvelous? But she's had a hell of a time in Aberdeen, I tell you. These people have not been surprised by joy. Anyway, that was the detail, but an important one. I hope that you're surprised by joy this Easter. Maybe something so intense, something so good, something so high, it cannot be explained with words. And that all of us will be open to new ways of the risen Christ taking us by surprise. Amen.